Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 149, for April 28th, 2010. Whose voice is that? Net at Night is brought to you by GoToTraining. Improve learning, participation, and access to training programs and save a bunch with GoToTraining. For a free trial, visit GoToTraining.com. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I am Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hello there, Amber.
Hello, Leo. It feels like I haven't talked to you in a long time. I forgot that I talked to you in Phoenix last week when I was there.
That's right. No, we talked. Yeah. But you're kind of in a new studio for those of you watching the video. This is Amber's new office.
Yeah, it's our new office, and Chris said, he said, okay, in this new office, I'm going to set up a camera and lights and everything, so when you do Net at Night, you don't use the camera, the built-in eyesight on the iMac, and he wants it to look as good as possible, so he's taken over. But that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. No, Chris good. Chris has a really good eye. He's a great photographer, great video shooter, and a really good editor, and and obviously he's a good technical guy, because look, there's two of you now. That's perfect.
Yeah,
that's
my fault. Likes setting all this stuff up, so I'm happy to have the help, Leo. Let me just tell you.
Did you participate in Boobquake?
I didn't, Leo. I didn't participate in Boobquake. I did do an interview about it with CTV here in Canada, but I thought it was kind of entertaining, and it was funny. One of the questions CTV had asked me about Boobquake was, why do you think Boobquake is so successful? And I said, first of all, they have partial nudity on the internet. You have something controversial because it was the Iranian cleric who said that earthquakes were a result of female immodesty.
Yeah, explain that, because Boobquake comes from that statement.
Yeah, so basically the cleric said that he believed that earthquakes were because women weren't properly covering themselves and they were causing earthquakes around the world. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And so
it was a variation on the God's wrath thing.
Yes. Yeah. And so a 20-something girl from Indiana decided to go onto Facebook and say, listen, if earthquakes are really caused by partial nudity and us showing cleavage and those types of things, we're going to try to make an earthquake happen. So she started Boobquake on Facebook and other websites, and they had more than 50,000 members last time I looked, or friends.
82,943. Who doesn't like boobs?
I know. And then they had sort of a 24-hour protest that they took offline where people would get together. And
Was it the Blag Hag that started this? I think it was.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Blaghag.com.
So it sort of made the rounds on the internet, and news media picked it up. I mean, as much as people gathered together and wore scantily clad clothing, the big story was online as far as how many people participated and posted photos and videos and had a little bit of fun with it. And Leo, I would like to report that, as far as I know, no earthquakes happened.
None. Well, what the hell? I think you guys didn't try hard enough.
Obviously.
Obviously, we need more.
Next time, Leo. See what we can do.
You know, I loved this, and I thought that it appealed to women because it was such an offensive comment. They just loved, kind of rubbing this cleric's nose in it, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, of course, guys say, well, more cleavage, what's wrong with that?
I know. I think I saw them, some of the some student protesters who had signs that said cleavage for science. So this was kind of a scientific experiment to see what would happen if they did show a lot of cleavage, see if there would be any quakes or not.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah, people had a lot of fun with it. It was definitely, it kind of shows the power of the internet and how quickly something can spread.
Now, on Facebook, though, you can't show nudity, right? So there was no nudity in this.
No nudity.
In fact, I'm kind of surprised Facebook put up with it.
Well, I know. I mean, Facebook has been under fire for putting up pictures of women who are breastfeeding their children.
Yeah.
So
right.
they've been pulling those photos down. So yeah, as far as I know, they kept the site up. I mean, and I think Facebook is getting to the point where there's been so much pressure and they know if they tried to pull this down and it was growing so quickly, I'm sure people would have just gone insane.
Zazzle, a bunch of Zazzle t-shirts, official Boobquake shirts like "Modestly dressed women seldom make earthquakes." Or
so
Boobquake, did the earth move for you?
Yeah, so I think this is kind of our latest internet meme.
Well, if you're on Friend Feed, I don't know if you have you done much stuff with the Friend Feed?
Now and again.
Friend Feed has these memes. In fact, this must have come from Friend Feed because these memes periodically sweep through Friend Feed of show us, you know, a picture of you eating breakfast or show us a picture of you. And so everybody will post pictures. In fact, in a way, it seems to me it kind of pollutes Friend Feed. But
yeah.
Friend Feed has such a nowadays it doesn't matter what happens because, you know, everybody's moved on except for the tight Friend Feed community. So really, in a way, it's their site now. And and so I think it's great. It doesn't, you know, there was a Peep She thing going on. And I mean, I just think there's a lot of great things on Friend Feed. And now that nobody ever uses it. But, you know, in a way, they asked Paul Buchheit, Paul and Brett Taylor, who is a Friend Feeder, who is very much involved in this new Facebook Open Graph initiative. In fact, he's really taken the lead, took the stage to talk about it on Mark Zuckerberg's keynote this week. Brett and Paul obviously have moved on to other bigger things at Facebook, but Paul is adamant, and I think Brett was too. We're not closing Friend Feed. We're going to keep it going.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're not putting a lot of new developments into it, but they apparently have a lot of features. I think this may end up being Friend Feed may end up being exactly what you and I are looking for, which is all these features, all this great stuff. But no one uses it anymore.
Yeah. You know, Leo, I have to say, I just spent earlier this afternoon, I spent 2 hours at Facebook and met with this guy who's in charge of Facebook growth. And I sat down with him for 2 hours with a couple of other people. And he talked to us about Open Graph and about Facebook pages.
What's your take on this? Now, you're getting it from them. And I'm sure that they were very nice. But what's your take on this?
Well, at first I found the whole thing confusing. I think people thought that Open Graph meant that Facebook Connect was going away, but that's actually not true. They still have Facebook Connect, but there's this whole other layer that's kind of been added onto it as far as Open Graph, where you can take the Facebook-like experience and port it over to your own website. So the example they showed us is, let's take Levi's website, where they have photos of jeans. Now imagine you have a bunch of photos of different styles of jeans from Levi's, and they have the little Facebook-like button on the bottom of them. So it's really like it's like an iframe. It's pulling out the code from Facebook, and people can go in and they can click, oh, I like those jeans and I like these jeans. And it's totally outside of Facebook, but it's connecting back to your Facebook profile in the sense that it's sharing that you liked that with your Facebook community. So you would need to be logged in when you're on the Levi's site, but it's kind of seamless as far as your experience with it. So I think it's really interesting for businesses. I think it provides another avenue where they can find out what people like and what they maybe dislike, and you kind of build out from there as far as understanding preferences from a community online. I think for the average person, it might get a little bit confusing in terms of how you can use all these different Facebook logins and you can participate on sites and how that information ports back to Facebook. And so the idea that Facebook is just happening on Facebook, they've kind of torn down those walls.
I couldn't be more unhappy about the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't like it?
Well, I feel like it's Facebook's bid to make the web Facebook web, you know? And you're right. I don't think users are going to be confused by it. I think people just will see a like button and get it. They'll see Facebook content, they'll get it. Mm-hmm. They'll just kind of go along their merry way. And I think in some ways that's the risk of it, because Facebook is exposing more and more of your information to other people, other parties. They are collecting more about you now, because if you're logged into Facebook as you surf the net and these like buttons are popping up, they're collecting information about you where you go on the net.
Yeah.
I think it's a very bold and blatant bid on Facebook's part to make it this open free web that we know and love just kind of a Facebook walled garden. And I'm very unhappy about it. But I think that people are just going to go along with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they will go. I think people are so comfortable, Leo, in the Facebook world that although I say it might be a little bit confusing, I think that they will go along with it because I think there's a lot of trust that they've put into Facebook with sharing all their information there.
Misplaced trust, I believe.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're worried about people having all that information about you and
Facebook
using it
Facebook has not
ways,
shown that they really care. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, about protecting our privacy. You know, I found it very ironic that Google got all sorts of hate about Buzz and is being investigated by the FTC and all this for their bad but mistaken, setup for Buzz, which they completely fixed immediately. Meanwhile, Facebook just gets a free pass while it collects more and more information about us and releases that information to all sorts of third parties in all sorts of ways. This, to me, prompts me to encourage everybody to immediately go to your Facebook settings, examine your privacy settings. There is a whole bunch of new settings tied to this. It is not opt-in. It is opt-out. You are automatically participating if you don't choose otherwise. And I think most users don't even have a clue that there are privacy settings, let alone what opt-in, opt-out is.
Yeah, I think you're right. To me, it's one of these situations where it all boils down to education, right? And I think whether it's Facebook or another site where you're sharing all this information, as soon as you decide you're going to share all of that information, you should definitely browse through privacy settings on whatever site it might be and figure out where your information is shared, how it's shared, and if you have any control over that. And I totally agree. I mean, I think that's a big deficiency with a lot of these websites that are out there where people are sharing a lot of content. And we saw it with Blippi recently with the credit card information getting I think leaked online in some type of Google search. And it's getting scarier and scarier as people become more comfortable sharing information.
But see, it's when Google makes a mistake or Blippi makes a mistake, that's one thing. That's a mistake which they quickly fix.
Yeah.
Facebook, it's their business.
Yeah.
And they did it with Beacon. They keep doing it. They keep pushing this envelope. And I think they to a certain degree kind of count on their users not knowing or caring and just marching on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that for me, it's one of those things where I probably am not the typical Facebook user, to be honest with you, Leo. I don't use Facebook as much as I use some of the other tools that are out there. It sort of just exists and I share now and again. But I think, you're probably right in the sense that the average person who's using Facebook, I mean, they are really kind of power users on the site and they're sharing everything. It'll be interesting to see if there's any backlash. But my meeting was more focused on the business side of things. And I think from a business's perspective, it's great.
It's good. And I've been thinking, there are a number of people who've done this. I was thinking of closing my Facebook account, partly in part to protest, partly out of concern. But like you, I don't use Facebook. Well, maybe not like you. I don't use Facebook the same way normal people do. It's a publicity medium. It's the same reason I can't quit Twitter. I've got hundreds of thousands of people following me on both platforms. And we use it as a business. We use it to promote ourselves.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
If I were a private person using Facebook, I'd really have some concerns about this. And I encourage all of our listeners to check their Facebook settings and really make sure that you know what you're sharing. And if in doubt, turn it off. Make it private. Yeah. Everything I do on Facebook, like you, I'm sure, is set to public because how I use Facebook. It's a publicity platform.
Yeah, I mean, even the whole time I was talking to Facebook, they're like, Amber, you're not the typical user on Facebook, right. So you may not get this, or you may not, but this is how they're using it. And I don't understand that because I just don't use it like that. I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. It's more of a tool to kind of share what I'm doing in the professional world, but I'm not in there just having like private conversations with my mom. I'm very careful about what I post from a personal side because I know I have, over 7,000 fans, and so I'm a little more cautious, I think.
Al Franken, Chuck Schumer of New York, Michael Bennett of Colorado, Mark Begich of Alaska sent a letter today to Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg urging them to simplify privacy controls. It's the second time in 3 days Chuck Schumer has expressed misgivings about Facebook's open graph. He sent a letter on Sunday to the Federal Trade Commission asking regulators there to drop clearer privacy guidelines for Facebook and other social networks to follow. Facebook's response today was the company welcomes a, quote, continued dialogue with you and others because we agree that scrutiny over the handling of personal data is needed as internet users seek a more social and interactive experience, end quote. Thing is, Facebook, it reminds me a lot of Apple's rationalizations for some of the things they do. It's good business and it's good for you. So Facebook can reasonably say, well, look, and just as you did, this makes the web much more interesting, doesn't it? You can see what your Facebook friends like. You can share your likes with them. And I have no problem with a like button. I only have a problem with it all aggregating to Facebook and Facebook owning it. In the same way that I had a problem with Twitter kind of owning all of our content, all of our tweets.
Actually, Leo, just on that note, though, I will say one thing that people might find interesting is Facebook recently put up a Facebook Safety Center on their website.
Right, we talked about that. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that that is actually a move in the right direction. And there's some really valuable information there for parents. This is a different thing, but for parents and educators and law enforcement. So there's some neat stuff there.
Maybe I'm just turning into a paranoid old man, but I feel like, oh yeah, sure, they'll pay lip service to privacy and safety. I remember when people were complaining about power plants polluting, the way they solved that was they put up lots of messages about green and how important it is not to pollute and how green it is, and they drown out the complaints by looking like they really care. And a great way for Facebook to respond to this is to set up pages about your privacy and protecting yourself online and educating people and so forth, because then it creates the impression that Facebook really does care. But in fact, what Facebook's doing is, I think, making an attempt to own the internet and to own your data because it's good for Facebook, because it makes them a lot of money.
But I think, like, I agree with you in some respects, but I think with the safety center, whether they care or not, I still think that information is valuable for parents. I mean, so kids are getting cyberbullied. I mean, whether Facebook cares or not or has any involvement in that, you know, probably not. So there's still nuggets of information that are helpful, I think, because there's a lot of other stuff happening on Facebook versus people just revealing tons of information. There's, you know, interactions between teenagers, identity theft, all that stuff that there's layers of the safety and security, I think, to the site. But I think it's a good point.
I praise them for putting out that information, and the information is, in fact, good and valid. I just hope it doesn't distract people from another issue about privacy online.
Yeah. And I think, Leo, I honestly, the more I speak to educators, the more I think that starting at a young age, I feel like we should be educating young people about privacy online. I feel like it should be part of the curriculum in schools.
I agree.
It may be too late for us, but at least for young people.
I couldn't agree more. I think that it really is very, very important. It's part of what you have to learn to be a user, you know? All right, let's move on. Let's talk about T-shirts.
Okay, so this is a great little site that I just read about recently on Mashable. It's called 1 Million Shirts. And the idea here is, I'm sure you're in the same boat. I'm in the same boat. You've been to so many events. You have so many T-shirts.
Man.
People give you a ton of these T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a new campaign where they're trying to collect 1 million shirts, and they will be donating them to clothe people in Africa. So the website's called 1 Million Shirts. It's a big social media campaign. You send your shirt along with $1 to help with shipping to the address. It's only available in the U.S. right now. And then these T-shirts will be shipped off to help people in Africa.
So, we do know that they want our T-shirts, right?
Well, that's one question I had. I was wondering if they want our T-shirts. But Leo, here's another question that I had, and I haven't been able to dig this up, is that sometimes I think we think that, okay, well, if I donate this or donate that, that's going to help people. But sometimes money is what they really need. Right. And I wonder, you know, in with the situation in Africa, is money more valuable than anything? Because shipping all these T-shirts over, a lot of people are hungry. They need food. And so money can be more helpful. So I hope people don't get the messages kind of mixed up. But I think it's a good cause, and hopefully it's going to good use as well.
And they only have 625 T-shirts, so I'm going to send them. I have that many in my drawers alone. So I'm going to send them. Jennifer will be so happy to hear about this. Yes, finally, somewhere to send the T-shirts.
Well, that's how I feel. I mean, for a dollar, sending all these T-shirts off, like literally, I have so many T-shirts. And as a woman going to tech events or any marketing events or any events at all, I mean, they're large men's T-shirts.
Excel. That's all you get.
I can't even wear them.
Yeah. They're good for cleaning windows or iPad screens.
Exactly. Okay, so for our next link, we have this little news bite.
This is a shocker.
I almost don't even want to talk about it. It's one of these items because I feel like I'm sick of hearing about this guy, John Mayer, who is a musician, and he has been using Twitter for a while. He is saying that Twitter's dead. I guess he said this at a recent concert. He said, "I just think that Twitter as a form of communication, I think it's over, to be honest with you." And
He's got 3.2 million followers.
No. But this guy's kind of like a publicity whore, if I can say that word. Honestly, like he, every time I turn around, he's doing something to kind of try to get more publicity, whether it's online or offline. And I feel like this is just another, know those people who
Amber,
are always stirring things
your
up?
Body is a wonderland.
I can't stand
your
him,
body
honestly.
Is
so.
A wonderland. I know.
He might be a nice person, but not my type of music.
Jennifer Aniston broke up with him, remember? Because he was using Twitter too much.
Yeah.
I like that. But that was a year ago, you'd think. Losing, you know, one of the most, you know, desired women in show business as a girlfriend because you spent too much time on Twitter might have indicated that you have a problem. But no, that was last year. Then in December, several months later, he says, I'm going to take a break from Twitter. And he had a 1 week digital cleanse.
Oh, boy.
Then he came back. And now he's got 3.2 million followers, half a million more than before his cleanse. But he hasn't tweeted in a week.
Oh, my God. I hope you just... Can you destroy your Twitter account? Can you just, like, make it blow up?
I did it, which was a mistake. Because then somebody immediately grabbed it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The problem with destroying your account... I remember when I stupidly, publicly left Twitter in April of 2006... Because I felt that it was a little while ago. I was the number one user on Twitter at the time. Number one. And do you know how many followers I had when I left Twitter?
How many?
5,000.
Ooh.
That was huge. Bigger than anyone else on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I left in April. And I think it was October at Blog World. Justine said, no, you got to be on Twitter. I said, okay. And I came back. And I, you know. So... But I made a mistake because I deleted it. And when I came back, I had to kind of ask the guy who had my account.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know you can delete it. And
2007,
hopefully...
not 2006. I'm sorry. 2006 Twitter was just born. Thank you for that correction.
That's
2007.
Right.
So who is John Mayer on Twitter? What is his Twitter handle?
I don't know. I'm guessing, is it just John?
It's not John Mayer.
John? No.
John C. Mayer. It's John C. John C. Mayer. Twitter.
I really hope I'm not following him.
Oh, I probably am. I probably am. Yeah, yep, that's him. He's authenticated 3.2 million followers. Let me sign in and just see. I'm out of curiosity.
I got to see if I'm following him.
I bet I am. This will be embarrassing. I'm not going to touch it. My hands are off the buttons. Oh, good. I'm not following him.
I got to see this.
And his last tweet, April 20th.
Me neither.
It was April 20th, and it was a retweet of Jim Carrey. Because, you know, all these celebrities know each other. He's only following 86 people. No wonder John C. Mayer doesn't think Twitter's anything. It's a broadcast medium for him.
Yeah, he doesn't follow anyone, right?
Although he did post 5 very funny fake Coachella band names.
Huh.
Sly and the Family Stallone, Das Hufenmountain, The 5-6, Stratosphere, and Filament. Those are good. Those are good. But it is, it's a broad. If you only follow 89 people, of course you don't see any value in Twitter.
I've been to people's accounts where they only follow one person. You know, it's so funny, and that they just use it to broadcast.
Right.
Unfortunately, I think they can never realize kind of the full Twitter experience at that level.
He's only following famous people. Oh, wait a minute. He's following you. No, he's not. I'm just kidding.
He is not. I hope not.
Just kidding.
There'll be a big block if that happens.
Block. I block you, John C. Mayer. I block you and your family. So John Mayer's leaving Twitter. Well, if you ask me, that's a good reason to come back to Twitter.
Yeah, it is. It's a great reason.
I'm back, baby.
You're back.
I love this next link. This is so funny.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you would love this. So if you remember GeoCities websites, those crappy-looking websites that people used to put up, I don't see too many of them anymore.
That's because they're gone.
Yahoo reported on this.
Yahoo killed them, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. But they're back.
No.
In some respects.
No.
The GeoCities Izer. So you can go and you can make any web address look like a GeoCities website. so like it was designed by a 13-year-old kid.
Oh, I love
it. So you go to app-tonic/geocitiesizer. You can submit a URL and then it will make it dance and they'll be singing and all this stuff. So it's very irritating, but it's fun for us geeks who remember the GeoCities websites. And they were advanced at the time.
Well, yeah, I guess. They're pretty awful. Unfortunately, the site is down. Of course, we immediately broke the site. But
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried it earlier on, actually. It's funny. Yeah, you're right. Oh, no, that's too bad. But if people get a chance to check it out, it's a lot of fun.
I love it. That's some serious web voodoo.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really...
Have you tried Cornify?
Cornify?
Okay, let me do this before I tell people the URL.
Okay.
Okay. Cornify. So what Cornify does is it takes a website, any website, and adds unicorns and rainbows to it.
Oh, I thought you said Pornify.
That could be another site that I don't know about.
It's like, Leo, I don't want to see.
That could be another place. I don't know. So it'll Cornify a website, a photo.
I love it.
Yeah. Actually, they're going to be at RuffleCon. RuffleCon 2 is coming up.
Ooh.
We meant to go to RaffleCon last year. We wanted to go this year. That's where all the internet memes gather.
Yeah.
You know, Tron Man. Uma, what is his name? Numa Numa Kid. They all gather. RaffleCon 2 coming up in Boston soon.
That's too funny. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And Cornify will be there.
Who knew, Leo? Okay, so we have our guest coming up on the show.
Shall we get a guest on? Because I want to do a commercial before we get to the guest.
Yeah, so let's do a...
Would this be a good time to do a commercial?
I think it's a great time.
Advertisement? You don't mind if we do advertisements, do you, folks? Don't answer that. You got it. See, here's the deal. This is free. This show is free. We love giving you this show. We love producing this valuable content. We put it out in the media all over the world. Anyone can listen. We stream live video. We stream live audio. We make downloads available on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace. And even on YouTube, you can watch this show. You could see the lovely Amber MacArthur for absolutely no charge. No charge at all. And how do we do this amazing thing? We do it because we have lovely advertisers who give us money. Who give us money so that we can do all of this. And all we ask, my friends, is that you give them your money. See, it's a little indirect. You could give it to us directly. Sure, maybe that would be easier. But then you'd miss out on the great products and services that are offered by our fine advertisers. So we feel this is a win-win. What are you laughing at?
This is the longest intro you have. I'm actually really interested who the advertiser is.
Who could it possibly be that would put up with this? Well, that's one of the things I love about our advertisers is they understand what they're advertising on. They know it's a little different. If nothing else, that tells me that these are these people have a sense of humor. They're great companies who know that, frankly, in the long run, the best way for them to communicate with their potential clients and customers is authentically and not pretend, you know. Anything, just be real. And so that's what we do. We're real here. When I talk about something like Citrix, you know, the great folks at Citrix, go to meeting, go to my PC, go to assist, and the new one, go to training. You know, I'm talking about something I use and I know and I recommend because we don't take advertising from companies that we don't use. That's something very important to me. That's why you'll only hear a handful of advertising on any show that we do. But it would be nice if you would try some of our, if and only if, I'm not asking you to try it if you're not interested, but only if you think this could be of use to you, should you try it. Now, we've all sat through online learning situation, maybe not all of us, many of us, I certainly have, online training. I have to do this every, is anybody listening? I have to do this every year. The company that syndicates my radio show, and now I think all radio companies do this now, there is an online training thing that you have to do so that you know not to say poo-poo on the air. Because the FCC will find them and me, and it will be a horrible thing, and it'll be like the rest of the end of our life. So they have this training that you go through. It's god-awful. And you know, it drives me crazy because each and every year I have to create a whole VPN tunnel to their server. They make it so hard to take this training. I'm going to send them a note saying, can you try go to training? And if you have ever had to suffer through an e-learning situation that was hard, difficult, not compelling, not fun, please tell them about GoToTraining. I'm going to tell them about it. And if you are a trainer, try it free for 30 days. GoToTraining.com. You can have 200 people at the live thing. Okay, you may say, well, that's not enough. Well, you record the live training, including the tests, the polls, the interactivity, and you can then make it on demand. Anybody could take that training again and again and again, as many people as you want after the fact. You can. There's a content library that you can upload any document to, any link to any website. You can do a complete training curriculum. They can review ahead of time, review during, review afterwards. You can completely control your and customize your training tests. You can give these to attendees before, during, or after every session. Of course, it's got an integrated email system, so it's very easy to send out invitations to join you. You've got all the features Citrix has made famous in GoToMeeting and GoToMyPC. Screen sharing, you can pass presenter control from one computer to another. So GoToTraining can be used by multiple trainers all over the world. Voiceover IP, they've got chat built in. As I mentioned, you can record the sessions. Polling, feedback, testing. There's a whole list of stuff this stuff does. Evaluation forms. This is e-learning done right. And I want you to try it. GoToTraining.com. GoToTraining.com. Free for 30 days. And if you're listening, clear channel, please. I beg of you. Don't make me. I'm starting to get the emails because they sent this about a month ago. They said, you're going to take the training. Every year I have to do this. And every year I have to talk to the IT department and say, I can't get in. You have to be on-site only because I'm off-site. And they say, well, you VPN. I said, I can't VPN. I'm using a Mac. Very frustrating. And I still say poo-poo on the air, so it's not helping. All right. Amber, let's get our guest on the line right now. Tell me a little bit about, I only know one thing. His name is Dave, and he doesn't want to say his last name.
Yes.
Is he in the witness protection program?
I don't know, but I hope not. but I think he blogs and talks about something you'll find very interesting. His site's called whosevoice.org, and it's a place where he talks about different voiceover actors and what voices you hear in different commercials, who they actually are.
I love that.
It's such an awesome idea. And as soon as he emailed me, I immediately thought of you because you're obviously you've been in the radio business for a long time. And I always wonder, whose voice is that on that advertisement for Ford? Or whose voice is that in that Visa ad?
In a world where people's voices are unknown and they make commercials and trailers and you want to know who they are, whosevoice.org is here to help.
It's fantastic.
I love that idea.
I know. And he goes into more of it. He talks about on audible.com, for instance, he talks about who's reading what books, you know, like Michael C. Hall reads a dinosaur book. And it's all about kind of voice actors and voice news. And it's very, very interesting, very niche. That's why it works so well on the internet.
Well, let's get Dave on the air right now. Hey, Dave, are you a voiceover guy yourself?
How are you guys?
Hi, Dave.
Good.
All right.
Is this your business? Is this your business? Do you do this for a living?
No, this is a side project that I do. I actually have nothing to do with voiceovers. I'm just kind of a good recognizer of voices.
Oh, so it's your ear that detects whose voice it is.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing. As I write this in the about page, but it's for years. For as long as I can remember, I've been pretty good at recognizing voices on voiceovers and all, you know, on commercials, especially these days with celebrity narrators and things like that. And it was kind of like this, that's my talent. I said, wow, if this is my talent, I feel like maybe I need to do something with it because it's the most random talent ever. So what I did was I just started this in December of this past year, like around December 28th. I had some time off and I started as a Tumblr and I just kind of, you know, just started writing down. I first wrote down, I went to see a play, David Mamet's play, which was called Race.
Right.
And in that, in the play that I found it, it was the voice of Mercedes and the voice of, the voice of Mercedes and Acura. So it was,
but you heard it. You were in the play. You see the play and you go, wait a minute. I recognize that voice.
Exactly. So James Spader and Richard Thomas. And Spader is the voice of Acura, and Richard Thomas was the voice of Mercedes. So I said to myself, this is kind of funny. These two guys, these competing car companies, are on stage together. So I just thought it was this random funny kind of observation. So I, you know what? I'm going to write a post about this. So that was kind of my first real post. And the response was pretty good. And I can just use it as, you know, the voiceover as an entry point. And then I could just really go off on things. So
I love, you know, this. Okay, listen, here's a voice. Now, you know this
in
voice.
In this year's Academy Awards, Hyundai will be running 4 minutes of commercials on the same night that the voice of their brand is a favorite to win the Best Actor Oscar. Sounds like serendipity, right? Except for one minor detail. The Academy prohibits nominees from being used in ads during the broadcast.
You can't be the voice of an ad.
Oh, random.
Random. Yeah. So Jeff Bridges, who is the voice of Hyundai, and by the way, won an Oscar, I guess they couldn't run that ad.
That night, yeah, they couldn't run that ad because the segment that he was going to be on the show, they wouldn't be able to run their ad at that
so
point.
Instead, they had all these different actors do it.
Exactly. And they ended up getting some great PR out of it, and it worked out where they re-recorded all of their spots.
Who was that voice? Really, who was that voice that we just heard?
That was just the introduction.
That's just okay, let's hear some voice.
Stars are aligning for Hyundai anyway, quite literally, as an all-star lineup of talent.
Yeah, because she's not a professional, you can tell.
For the evening.
Yeah, she
speaking
might be
on behalf of Hyundai's famous
she's not a very good professional.
Kim Basinger.
The 375 horsepower Hyundai Genesis has a more effective braking performance than the Lexus GS460.
That's a voice. Richard. See, there's actors are good at voiceover because they act.
Yeah.
Here, right. Richard Dreyfuss.
This year, 3 million young adults out there will get their driver's license.
I think he might have been a little.
Better get yourself a safe car.
David Duchovny.
What if we made luxury available to everyone?
See, I would never recognize that was Duchovny.
I wouldn't either.
But Dave, you would.
I would. You know, I don't know. It's a strange talent, you know, so might as well turn it into a blog. But, you know, there was this Time Magazine study or survey. I think they said something like voiceovers are the most successful when the audience can sounds recognizable,
I know it.
But they can't put a name to
it.
So and it's happening more and more. You know, you have John Hamm, you know, the guy from Mad Men, as he's the new voice of Mercedes. Michael C. Hall from Dexter is the voice of Dodge. You know, you have these celebrities' voices are actually taking over commercial voiceovers. It's not considered selling out as much, you know, because your face, someone could be on a Pizza Hut commercial and be talking about Pizza Hut and it sounds recognizable, but if their face isn't on there, they don't get kind of the heat, which, by the way, Queen Latifah is the voice of Pizza Hut.
No.
That's so kind of funny.
Not surprising. All right. This is the voice everybody wants to know. Whose
right.
voice?
But a talking gecko. Why?
I'll tell you why. Because people trust advertising icons.
Everybody wants to know who's the voice of the Geico Gecko. We don't recognize that voice. Should we?
That it's no, it's not.
It's not
well,
an actor.
Actually, the original
sounds Geico like Michael Gecko. Caine.
No, it's not.
Okay.
The original Geico Gecko was what's Frasier?
I know what you mean. Frasier.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer.
Oh my
Kelsey
God.
Grammer. Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was the original voice, but then there's I think this new voice is a British actor.
So he's actually British because they even make fun of the gecko because you can't tell if he's British, Australian. You can't tell what the hell.
So yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, I did. There's a post about Darth Vader before James Earl Jones.
Oh, I love that.
His voiceover. So David Prowse was the actor.
Terrible.
Yeah, terrible. It sounds like a Dark Helmet from Spaceballs, and you know, things like that. And then there's also things where
I have to play this video because this will really show you how important the voiceover is. I mean,
finding the right voice for Darth Vader was another challenge.
And action!
So this is Darth Vader. He's holding the you know, whoever it is, the crew member who screwed up by the throat. And normally you do. I am not happy with James Earl. But no, it's not James Earl Jones. Listen, this is the guy in the suit.
Lucas had never intended to use the on-set vocal performance of David Prowse.
Start tearing this ship apart piece by piece until you find those tapes. Find the passengers of this vessel. I want them alive.
He's terrible.
It would have been a totally different move.
Find the passengers of
this
vessel. They're missing.
Yeah. That's like the best part of Star Wars is his voice.
Exactly. You know, to not have that. It's, you know, and also I was live tweeted the Super Bowl. So, you know, there's so many celebrity voices, again, premiering for the first time during the Super Bowl. So while so many other people are tweeting about the commercials and things like
that's
that,
great.
I was doing it, but I was actually tweeting whose voice was in the commercial.
I wish I'd known that. What's your Twitter handle, Dave?
It's Whose Voice. Pretty easy.
Easy. Oh, God. From now on, I'm following Whose Voice because you're going to do that again for the next big event?
Yeah, I'm going to do it again. And we also have this list that we're kind of compiling of different voiceovers. It's this big list of celebrity voices. And if people recognize someone who's not on my list, you can just tweet me and I'll add it.
So that everybody who's like, is it tied to their endorsement? So Tim Allen does the Pure Michigan. Will Arnett does the GMC trucks. I get it. Lauren yep. Bacall, Fancy Feet. But you know, I'll even be watching an animated movie. Like I was watching Fantastic Mr. Fox the other day, which I love. Great movie. Great acting in that. That's probably one of the best voice acting jobs I've ever heard. And you know every voice in it, but you can't always, at least you can, Dave.
Yeah. Well, most of them, but some of them I actually couldn't. But yeah, it's you recognize.
I know that voice.
Yeah, and that's what makes it. It makes it this comfortable kind of feeling where you know who they are, but sometimes you can't. You don't know exactly. And I mean, there's also a little story where commercial or voiceover, real voiceover actors, non-celebrity voiceover actors, are getting a little frustrated because they have these celebrities that are coming in and taking their business.
Right.
So there's that. But the trend in advertising is to have these notable names doing voiceovers, which. For me, you know, it works because
it works.
I can keep
you
just churning
voice.
It out.
Nobody cares that you know it's Ernie Anderson's voice. It's like, oh, I don't care. So who's your favorite celebrity?
My favorite voice, I'd say, is like Sam Elliott is just a great voice. You know, he's the voice of Coors also. Of course, in Up in the Air and the Big Lebowski. You know, and then also
he's the guy who says, sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes the bar eats you.
Such a great line. That's I think he's probably one of my favorite voices. Now, Leo, I got to ask you a question here.
Yeah.
Did you ever do any kind of commercial voiceover? I could have sworn that I heard you do at the end your voice. I could have sworn I heard you at the end of a McDonald's years ago.
Boy, no. I would not have hidden that. That's money. That's money. You're talking
it was like
money.
Right there. At the end, and I was like, "Ah, is that Leo?" But
no, I do a lot of voiceovers, but not national voiceovers. Here, let me play a little Sam Elliott doing Kurz, just so you know what the voice.
We're uncompromising. We could brew coolers somewhere other than the Rockies, but we don't. We're persistent.
See, it's authentic. That's what you love about that voice.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's not an announcer.
No, hey, Dave, just out of curiosity, a while ago, a couple years ago, I interviewed this guy, Ben Patrick Johnson. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not.
He does a lot of the movies, the voiceovers and the commercials were like In a World. Leo can do the voice better than me. Right. You know, he does all the dramatic movies. And it was funny talking because he is like unbelievably successful as far as you know, this is all he does, right? But obviously with all these celebrities coming in, he's going to be impacted a little bit.
Well, but there are some of these voiceover and these narrators like Don LaFontaine, who just passed away a little while ago.
He was a star just because of his voice.
Exactly. There are some people who transcend, you know, celebrities. Right. I think you always have these big booming voices announcing, you know, film previews and things like that. But, you know, there will always be that voice of ABC and Disney. But I think for commercials, when they need someone who's like a quick, who is that kind of recognizable thing to get someone's attention, they're going to probably use more actors.
Here's Ben Patrick Johnson's voice, just so you know. You'll have heard this. I'm sure there'll be a voice here sometime soon.
Night at the museum.
This is not worth it.
Night at the museum. He's the young voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually, if you on my website too, there's a all the voiceover actors. I think it was like Hollywood. Hollywood Reporter, I think, had these key art awards, and they put together this whole voiceover. All the voiceover actors were taking a limo to the award ceremony, and it was Don LaFontaine, and it was all these voices.
I saw that. It was so funny.
And it's, you know, you recognize all of
it. It was so funny. And then you've also seen, and I put this on my Tumblr log, What is it? Was it? It was a bunch of voiceover artists doing kind of a parody of each other, right? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, it was a sketch. The sketchies thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was so like, funny.
Yeah.
It was, this is kind of neat on your website, too, where you have the list, the index, where you can go through all of the,
Who did what?
Yeah, different movies, TV shows, and...
Oh, that's different from the voice, because, like, okay,
yeah,
okay,
if
I'm
going to... go to the top, it's, the very top, it's index, right there.
Yeah.
You can kind of just see.
Oh, so you can go, the, you can go like by, tags by there, commercial yeah. or product or by name. So exactly. If you've got a favorite, you can find, oh, that's great.
You know, and you could search for someone's name too. And
you should make a quiz because you're so good at this. I'm going to do a quiz. Let's see. Let's just see how this would work, Amber. See if you can recognize. I'm gonna give you a voice, Amber. You can see if you can recognize.
It's in 9 out of 10 of the world's largest telecom carriers.
Yeah, Sean Connery.
That was easy. I gotta do a harder one. Okay, let me see if I get. Oh, okay, you should know this one. You should know this one, Amber. Let's see if I can find it here. This might be actually harder than it sounds.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you need to do your own podcast.
You could do this. It would be so cool.
That's a good idea. It would be fun, I feel like, to turn this into some sort of like digital book or something. To like the podcast could be pretty cool.
Podcast would be great.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
I have to do a search.
I mean, you have so much content on the site that just seems like every week there's something happening in this space, whether it's news about the Geico voiceover guy getting fired or whatever it might be, that you could really kind of run with it.
It's fun too because just today I posted something about Bob Shepard, the voice of the Yankees. It's a story that, you know, it's been out there for a while, but if you really just go deep and examine the voice, you pick up information that really hasn't been reported all that much before.
Let's see if you recognize.
Tell us how you roll at CottonelleRollPoll.com.
Wait a minute. I want the voice of the puppy. Mm. Where's the voice of the puppy? See if you recognize the voice of the puppy here.
Oh, yeah. Time for a little me time. Perfect pause. A little rub.
See, you'll never guess this, Amber, but I know you love this actor.
Sexy.
When you demand the very best?
Oh, yeah. It's a dog's life.
You have to try Cottonelle.
That's a really tough because he's doing a character voice.
It's a dog's life.
It's Zach Braff.
Oh, no way.
She loves Zach Braff, but she would never have guessed that because he's doing a voice.
I would never have guessed that. Dave, would you have guessed that?
It's hard because I've know it so many times. I've heard it so many times now. I can't remember if I got it the first time. I don't get it. I mean, I'm not.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because he's talking funny.
So that's not fair.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's funny, too. I get so many emails of people who are, you know, I call them voice recognizers, you know, and there are people out there who say, oh, my God, you know, I have that talent, too. And, you know, they're throwing suggestions. And someone thought that, what's her name from the band She and Him? Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, Zoe Deschanel. I love her. Oh,
yeah. If you look at the new Apple commercial,
it's an iPod. She and Him ad. Yeah.
It's a She and Him ad. And it almost sounds like her. It sounds like her and a cross between her and Rashida Jones.
But it's not.
I don't think it's either of them, but I wonder if it was designed to sound like her.
Right.
Sound like either.
Right. Yeah. That would kind of, because there is so much of Zoe in it.
Yeah,
it's the new. Have you seen this ad? You might not have seen it in Canada. It's kind of odd because it's like this big ad for Zoe Deschanel's band.
It's actually my iPhone, but everyone in the family loves it. Grandma always wants to see the latest movies of the kids.
Is this it? This might not be the one. This is the family.
My wife?
This isn't it. There's a whole bunch of these here. Let's see. Which one's the family man, dog lover, backpacker, shopper, concert? Maybe it's concert.
No.
It's not that one?
I was out the other night, and this great song came on. So I used my iPhone to figure
out... So you're saying it sounds a little like Zoe, doesn't it?
It sounds like... It really sounds like Rashida Jones. But,
that's who the band was.
You know, from The Office. Or was it?
Downloaded their album right there.
It does like sound like Rashida Jones. You're right.
But there's one point in the middle... This is my life, by the way. There's one point in the middle.
I love it.
it doesn't sound like her anymore.
That's the giveaway. Do you record these and play them over and over just to kind of?
No, you know, that's why DVR is great and the internet's great, because I could just, you know, search for something pretty easily. And there are so many websites just devoted to commercials. So anything I have in my head, I could search and
sure.
9 out of 10 times find it.
The internet's great for this, yeah.
Yeah.
And the best part was, my iPhone even told me when they were coming to town. So all I had to do was buy the tickets.
It's just, I think that's a kind of common female voice.
Yeah. That's what I think, yeah.
That
it's pretty it's a simple voice.
It's a simple, but it's neither.
Mm-hmm.
What's one that just is so hard for you that just it took? You know, Holly Hunter is one of those voices. I just always know it.
Yeah. But, that's a tough one. What else is?
Because she has this very distinctive. She has this little thing she does. It's very distinctive.
You know, on the Droid commercials, I can't remember who it is, but... There's someone, there are two big names in the Droid commercials, and I had trouble recognizing those. It was the Verizon
The newest Droid ones?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's
James Vanderbeek?
Yeah, James Vanderbeek. That's right.
I don't even know who that is. From
Dawson's Creek.
Oh, Dawson's Creek.
I just found this online, so yeah, I didn't know.
That was good.
She Googled it.
Yeah.
You guys are really quick with the Googling and the clips, I got to say.
Oh, yeah. Leo and I are always on. But we're always online. When people guests get on, they start talking about stuff.
What? This is such a great site. Whosevoice.org. WHOSEVOICE.org. By the way, congratulations. Nominated for a Webby.
Yes, well, honorable mention, but pretty excited still.
That's great.
And you don't just give you the voices; there's the gossip as well.
I suppose there is the gossip. Yeah, we go pretty deep into the voice biz. You know, I've been called the John Mayer of voice recognizers.
Oh, don't say that.
You're just doing that to be mean.
Just
maybe Ryan Seacrest or someone.
There you
like
go.
That.
There you go. That's, yeah. Oh, here it is. Voice talkers. This is so
that's
good.
The one, yeah.
This is so funny. I got to play this. But before I do, I should say goodbye to you. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. This was a blast.
Really fun to talk to you. Amber, what a find.
He emailed me, so thank you, Dave, for reaching out.
I just love the fact that the blogosphere allows you to take your obsession, however seemingly trivial or narrow the niche, and find an audience. And I think you could make a good living at this, and this is a great thing that everybody loves.
Yeah. Now, people seem to really, really love this. So we'll see where it goes.
Thank you, Dave. Good luck. Dave doesn't want to give his last name because he works somewhere else.
I try to keep my my work life and voice life a little separate.
Is it somewhere we would know, Dave?
Probably not. No.
Okay, good. All right. So it's not something that we would say, oh, God, you work for them.
No. Okay. It's just easier to just keep this thing separate.
I completely understand. Dave, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks.
And I'm going to play, this is from whosevoice.org. This is the Voice Talkers parody. You're just going to love this, Amber, if you like VO, guys.
Okay.
Then wash it down with a gallon guzzler of Mount Swish Mid-Freezy. Mmm. Now that's a man's meal.
Grover, can we take that part again from the top?
And don't forget to order Squiggly Zesty Cajun Shake'ems with our signature barbecue bonanza sauce. Then wash it down with a gallon guzzler of Mount Swish Mint Freezy. Mmm. Now that's a man's meal. Indubitably.
I'm not buying the indubitably.
Indubitably.
No.
Indubitably.
No.
Indubitably.
You should have had his dad do it.
Well... You get what you pay for.
Grover Bradshaw had it all. Until one day, he decided to throw it all away.
I'm not throwing anything away. It's not my thing, Dad. It never was.
One man on the verge of making the biggest mistake of his life.
Stop it. Stop doing that.
Grover, just hear me out.
There's nothing left to talk about.
Having trouble communicating? It may be time to try the new 14-step system that is sweeping the nation.
Don't start with me, Carol.
Mom, what are they talking about?
Nothing, David. Now finish your Krusty Bites. They're good for you.
And they've got the big breakfast taste that kids love!
Already, Dad? He's 10 years old.
Hey, you're never too young to have a dream, Grover.
This is your dream, Dad. You don't let anyone live their own life, and I, for one, am sick of it.
I used to get so sick of my daily grind until I found the revolutionary new method.
Carol, no. Look, I'm leaving. I'm going to be a professional orthodontist. That's right, everyone. My future's all about malocclusions and retainers and corrective headgear. I'm tired of just talking about people that do something with their lives. I'm going to change the world, Dad. And you can't stop me.
Dad! What are you looking at?
One man venturing into the unknown, leaving behind a world that didn't understand him. His fate is his own. At last, he has found his voice.
Stop it.
Side effects of living the dream may include leaving your family, delusions of grandeur, severe failure.
I'm sorry.
And in rare cases, that's just some dying.
That's just voiceover humor. Well, I apologize. All right, Amber, let's move on. We have a few more links before we wrap this puppy up. And tie it with a bow. Wait a minute. I turned off your sound. There we go. I heard sound coming from somewhere. It turns out it wasn't you. It was me.
Oh, yeah, we just have one more link, and that's our video of the week, Leo. So we can wrap up with that.
Fantastic.
I know. So this is just to introduce.
You don't want to talk about the women in tech 2010?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I thought you might care about that.
I know. You know what? I forgot Dane sent that link.
Yeah, that's a good link. The most influential women in technology. This is Fast Company.
Yep.
You're not on this list.
No.
You should
be. That's
not
a surprise.
You should be. But someone else we know is on the list.
Who is?
I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know anyone on the list.
No, nobody we know is on that list. Okay, screw that. I don't want to talk about it.
I know.
Why did I think Gina Trapani was on that list?
She should be on the list.
She writes for them.
Oh, wait. Here, maybe this is.
Oh, yes, she is on this list. She's one of the evangelists.
Oh,
there she is.
Okay.
And I think absolutely, if you're going to say that one of the most influential women in technology, it's got to be Gina Trapani, right? Especially now that she's doing that work for project for Expert Labs. Her think tank software is being used by the White House to extract information from Twitter. And and of course, she's the host of our show, This Week in Google, and the author of The Complete Guide to Google Wave. So congratulations, Gina. And you should be on that list.
Well, I don't know. But there's some great women on the list.
It's because you're from Canada.
Yeah, it's always the Canadian thing. That's okay, though, Leo. But I feel like I'm looking at this list and I'm not finding the full list. I'm just finding like six or eight people highlighted at front. Is there some sneaky way to get into the full list?
It's funny because I didn't see Gina either. Oh, here it is.
How did you get to her?
So, okay, at the top, I see. Bad navigation. See, there's icons. There's the executives, the activists, the media, the entrepreneurs, the evangelists, the gamers, and the brainiacs. So let's see who's in the media. Allison Lewis from Switchcraft. Elizabeth Spires, Darlene, I don't know who these people
Lisa
are.
Lisa Stone from Blogger.
Stone, of course, Blogger, yeah. Lisa Sabater.
Managing editor of CNN.com.
Meredith Hartley. Okay. Some of these people.
That's great.
Important people. It's good. The entrepreneurs. Yeah. Gina's in the evangelists list. So there you go. And I'm actually following about half these people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Now I can see the full list. I gotcha. At first I thought they just had six people and I was like, that's bizarre.
It wasn't obvious. Let's put it that way.
No.
So our video of the week. Tell me about that, my dear.
Okay, Leo. This has also been making the rounds online. We all know Justin Timberlake's song, I'm bringing sexy back.
Yeah. Sexy back, baby.
Sexy back. And so now a couple of nerds have gotten together and using some high-tech instruments like the iPhone and I think the ukulele, they use that as well. They have created a song where nerds are bringing sexy back, and it's a whole lot of fun.
Well, before we begin it, as in our tradition, I'm going to say goodnight to you, Amber MacArthur. You can find Amber at ambermac.com. That's her blog. Of course, her great video podcast is Command N, commandn.tv. You see her on CP24, apparently on CTV as well. All over Canada and even on old reruns.
Trying to bring out the old reruns.
Call
Leo.
For help. But join us every Tuesday when we do this show. We have a new time. It's 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. Let's see, that would be 2030 UTC at live.twit.tv. That's when we do the show live. But, of course, you can listen and download on iTunes, on any other podcast aggregator, even on YouTube, youtube.com/twit in the Net at Night channel. Amber, have a great week. We'll see you next week on Net at Night.
Thanks, Leah.
On me.
Go ahead,
let me see what you're flirting with.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Look at them hips.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
You make me smile.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Go ahead, child.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy on. Something about you. The way you're looking at me, or whatever, and I keep looking at you. You're getting scared now, right? Well, don't fear me, baby. It's just Brett Domino. Feels good, right? Listen.
I kinda noticed from one night in the club of front face. It's kinda weird to me, since you're so fine. If it's up to me, your face will change. If you smile, then that should set the tone. We'll just be limber, and if you let go, the music should groove your bones. And just remember,
just sing the song.
Ain't nobody love you like I love you. You're a good girl, and that's what makes me trust you. Late at night, I talk to you. You will know the difference, cause
maybe we'll fly the night.
I just wanna
away.
Love you, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Girl, maybe we'll fly the night.
Well, I just wanna
away.
Love you, baby.
Girl.
Come on, what you gonna do? I'm in front of you. Grab a friend, see, I can have fun with two. Or me and you put on the stage show. All the more kids, that's how they change low. For the head, they say, wow, it's the same glow. For you and me, I say, yeah, it's the same dough. We're the same type, you my era life. You have me sleeping in the same bed every night. Yo, rock with me, you're deserving the best. Take a few shots, let it burn your chest. We could write down, put me nerd in the deck. Funny how a few words turns into sex. Play in the street, joint core brain. Come on, take a hint, make me swerve in the lane. The name Malicious, Sunny burns every track. Domino and Beavis, how heavy is that? Hey! She's freaky and she knows it. She's freaky. Oh, I messed up, sorry.
from everywhere. The way they hit, I have to stop and stare. She got me love stone, man, I swear she's bad and she knows. I think that she knows.